Blog I really Talk hoping Radio.
That Ronnie was going to be here this morning. I knew he could relate to this message so much. But you'll have to tell him about it. But anyway, getting to know Jesus, part 13. Let's turn in our Bible to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. We're going to start there. And we'll start off, we'll read 17, 18, 19, we'll pray, and then we'll get back into the message. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 through 19. Last week, if you remember, what were we talking about? Jesus healing the nobleman's son, right? He's back in Galilee. He left Samaria. He went back north up to around the Sea of Galilee. He's up around Nazareth and Capernaum and Bethsaida up in that area, up in the northern kingdom, and where he'll spend a lot of his ministry, right there in that same area. Jesus didn't travel wide. He stayed in a very small area when he preached. But anyway, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 through 19 to start with, the Bible says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this day you've given us to live in. Father, we know we've got burdens, we've got problems, we've got lots of reasons why we could sit here and, Lord, in our mind, tune out the preaching and examine all our problems while the preaching's going on. But, Lord, that would be wickedness on our part. The devil wants to distract people as they try to listen to preaching every time. Father God, I pray this morning that we'd hold our attention on the Word of God. Father, whether we be busy at home trying to listen, Lord, or here listening in person, Father, I pray, Lord, that nothing would distract, nothing would hinder. Lord, I pray that we'd get the message, it would ring clear in our hearts, and Lord, lead us in the direction you want us to go. Father, I pray for each one that's here. I pray, Lord, that you'd comfort our hearts, strengthen us, and establish us in your word, Father. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to preach this morning. Lord, I'm nothing but your servant. Father, you know that. Lord, you know that there's nothing about me that's any good except for what you've done in my life. So, Lord, I pray you'd do good in me again today. I pray, Lord, you'd fill me with your Holy Ghost. You'd forgive my sins and cleanse my life. Fill my life. Preach through me this morning. Use me for your glory. Use me for your honor. Lord, touch lives. Speak to people. Lord, wake them up from their slumber. Stir us again. Wake us up. Make us ready to serve you. Lord God, I pray you move and do something in this service. I expect you to. I look for you to. Father, please bless hearts today. We love you and we give you praise, honor, and glory. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So we're going to look this morning at his statement here that he's made. You shall be fishers of men. We're going to look at some things this morning. We're going to look at what happens when somebody decides to follow Jesus. We're going to look at the change that took place in these disciples. We're going to look at what happened to them as Jesus showed up here. He moved out of the synagogues out into another place to preach, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So, anyway, let's get back to where we started. Verse 17, the Bible says, and from that time, in other words, when he left and went up yonder to around Galilee, from that time he began to preach. And what was his message? His message is the same message that John the Baptist preached. What did John the Baptist come to do? He came to prepare the way of the Lord. Same message. There are people out there, I will tell you, there are preachers out there who will try to tell you that John the Baptist and Jesus Christ preached two different messages, but those preachers are all tangled up. Listen, that would be foolish for God to send John the Baptist to preach something other than what Jesus preached. And God doesn't make foolish choices. God doesn't send men who who don't do what he's asked them to do when he sends people like what he sent John the Baptist to do. John the Baptist preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Peter preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Paul preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John preached, believe, but he preached, what he was saying was, you got to repent and believe. But I'm going to tell you something. That message is still true right now. That message is still true for you. That message is still true for you. It's still true for me. What does it mean to repent? Repent is a word that we hear, but we don't know if we really understand what it means sometimes. But it means to stop what you're doing, look at your situation, realize that you're not doing things God's way, and turn from your wrong direction and turn to God and yield to Him. That's what repent means. It means you got to stop right now and turn around and go to God. That's repent. All right? When a person gets saved, they have to repent. If you don't repent, you're not going to get saved. If you can think you can continue on doing what you're doing your way and ignore God and be saved, you're a fool. In order for a person to be born again, a person has to, and I'm not saying you change your way. It's not that you can change your ways, because we're hopeless in sin. We don't know what to do about our sins. But in order for us to go to God, the Holy Ghost of God has to make us aware of our condition. And He does. That's called conviction. The Holy Ghost of God opens our understanding and shows us our sin and how vile it is before God. And then God takes the Holy Ghost of God and teaches us through Him that our hope is in Jesus Christ, not in anything that we can do. And so with that knowledge, we realize that our way is a dead-end road which leads to hell, and then we turn by faith and believe upon the shed blood of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. That's repenting and believing. And Jesus was certainly preaching that. He said, repent. He was going everywhere. He was preaching and teaching in the synagogues. He was teaching outside the synagogues. And they were going to find out he went out by the seashore and taught there too. But his message was simple. His message was not complicated. Repent. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that mean? It means the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus has come to earth. He's there. Listen, he said, listen, you don't realize how near the kingdom of heaven is. You need to repent. Amen. And people still need that same message today, to repent and turn to God. Amen. Because I can tell you right now, the kingdom of heaven is nearer now than it was when Jesus spoke those words. We are not far from the Lord's return. Now, verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother. Now, we've run into those guys before, right? All right? What happened was this, I do believe. You know, and he called them. I mean, they knew who he was. This is not when they went and followed him off into the desert to see where he was sleeping. I mean, or where he stayed. This is them out working on the boats with their dad. I mean, they've been with Jesus, but they go back to work with their dad. And he's walking out by the seashore, and he sees them, and he sees them, and they're casting a net into the sea. The Bible says, for they were fishers. And I got thinking about that message. I got thinking about this message, and I got thinking about catching fish. There's all kinds of ways to catch fish. I mean, yeah, you can do it with a cane pole and a bobber and a hook and a weight and some live bait, or you can do it with a rod and reel and an artificial lure. You can do it with a yo-yo. You can do it with a trot line. You can do it with a trap. You can do it with a net. I thought about catching fish. You know, there's all kinds of ways. I mean, sometimes you'll catch one and he'll just swim right to the boat. You have no trouble. So other times you throw it out there and you think he's going to snap your line in half. And I mean, really and truly, it's exciting when you got one that wants to fight. But really and truly, if you want to catch a bunch of fish, you'd rather just reel right in, because that'd get you out the lake a whole lot quicker. But if you really want to catch a lot of fish, the best way to do it is to take a big net and throw out there where the fish are, and bring that net in. And that's the way fishermen generally do when they're out catching fish commercially, which is what these two brothers were doing with their dad and what James and John were doing with their dad. They're out commercial fishing and making money. That's their living. And Jesus is walking by there, and he says to them, I mean, he says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, first thing I want to point out is his first thing he said to him. He said, follow me. When you follow somebody, listen, we've all followed somebody. We've had people say, well, hey, we're going to go down to such and such place. Well, I don't know how to get there. Well, follow me. Now, you know what you've done at the point when you decided to follow them? You are submitting yourself to wherever they're going. You're not going to go anywhere on your own. If you do, you get lost, right? So you've got to get behind them, and if they turn right, you turn right. If they turn left, you turn left. They back up and go the other direction, you back up and go the other direction because you're following them. So in order to follow somebody, you have to submit yourself to them. They are in the lead, right? Jesus is saying to them, to these disciples, follow me, get behind me, and go where I go. Don't do how you want to. Don't sit here with your daddy and keep fishing. Come and submit yourself and go with me wherever I go. And that's what they did. And the Bible says there in verse 20, and they straightway, that's another important word there, that straightway, amen, it means at once, immediately. Listen, from that moment, they made a decision, Miss Geraldine, they made a decision that they were not going to continue on that fishing boat with their daddy anymore. They were grown men, they'd been working for him, they saw, and we're going to learn what they saw. We hadn't seen that yet, as I've told you before. The Gospels, it's four different views of the same thing. And so one will tell part of it, the other tell part of it, and then we get over in Luke, and Luke the physician, he was very detail-oriented. He was a doctor, and he tells more details than most any of the other gospel writers do. So we're going to find out exactly what all took place that day, but Matthew's giving us a short story, and he says that straightway they left their nets and followed him. So when Jesus commanded them, he said, follow me. They said, okay. We're done with these fishing boats. Okay? You say, well, they followed him before. Well, they didn't follow him forever because they went back to the fishing boats now, didn't they? They followed him. They were with him when he was down there at Sychar's well. They followed him down into Judah. They came back up and were in Sychar's well and then followed him all the way back up to where their fishing boats were, and they got back in the boat with their dad and went about their business until Jesus said, this time, follow me. He didn't mean follow me for 5 minutes, follow me for a day or two. He meant this is the time when you need to decide what you're going to do with your life. It happens in every believer's life. Listen to me. We don't just get saved and go sit down somewhere and wait on Jesus to come back and horn to blow. That's what a lot of people do, but it's not right. Jesus said, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. So you're not to just get saved and say, okay, well, I give. No, you have a calling on your life as a Christian. It's not pastors and deacons' jobs to do what I'm talking about. This is every believer. In Ephesians chapter 4, I believe it's verse 11, he said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, which are God's people, all of God's people are saints, for the work of the ministry. What's the work of the ministry? That's telling other people the gospel message and seeing them get saved and become a child of God too, and training them how to go and do the very same thing. It's a repetitive motion over and over and over. One gets saved, tells another. That one gets saved, tells another. That one gets saved, tells another. And on and so forth, and that's how we all end up sitting in here this morning. Amen? So he said, follow me, leave the nets, leave your father, leave everything right now. Make up your mind that you're going with me, and I'll make you fishers of men. So they straightway that moment, they left their nets. They said, Daddy, we got to go. And they followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father. Same thing happened down there at Zebedee's boat as happened at Simon Peter's daddy's boat. Jesus was there, Something took place. We're going to see here in a minute. And it changed their whole frame of, I mean, they had what they call an epiphany. Wow, this is my calling in life. Wow, they had some people call it a moment of clarity. They woke up from their slumber and realized there's more to life than just catching fish. There's more to life than just messing with nasty bait. There's more to life than just scrubbing nets and getting them clean and untangling them. There's more to life than rowing a boat. There's more to life than lifting a sail. There's more to life than what we're doing. There's more. And I'm going to tell you something. There's more than what you're doing. There is a hidden life that very few people find because they're not willing to be obedient to Jesus to find it. But there's something better than you can find right now doing what you're doing. I'm not saying everybody needs to walk off their job and say, forget it, I'm through doing this, I'm going. Listen, that's everybody's job ain't to do that. But you know what? Where you are, you can go and do this very thing. Unless you're in a fishing boat and everybody's saved. Amen. But anyhow, take you by, all right, let's see. Immediately they left their ship and their father and followed him. Can I say something to you about this now? They left their ship and their father. When they were on that ship with their father, I know these were probably grown boys. But you know what? When they were on that ship with their father, who was in charge? Their father was, wasn't he? While they were on that ship, if daddy said, son, raise that sail. You know what they done? They raised that sail. They submitted themselves to their dad on that boat. Even if he hadn't been their dad, if he'd have just been the sea captain, they submitted themselves to him and did what he said as the captain of that ship. Am I right? So he was their head, right? Their authority, just like if you work at a job, your boss is your authority. If you go to school, your principal is your authority. If you're feeding, the cop's your authority. Regardless who it is, you have a head over you, and that was the head they had over them. And he told them what to do and how to do it. But once they left that, they put themselves under another head, and that's Jesus Christ. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. We may have those in authority over us in this life, but none is anywhere as important as the head that we have over us when we're following the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to follow him supremely. What he says goes. What he says ought to be our rules for living this life. Turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 14. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. We're going to look at Mark's account of this taking place. Mark gives us just a little bit more, not too much more, but he's going to give us a little bit more information. The Bible says in Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 14, now after that John was put into prison. Did y'all know John went to prison? Why was John put into prison? Y'all remember? He had some backbone and some grit to him. He wasn't a lily-livered preacher. He had some grit. What did he do? He went to Herod, King Herod, king of Israel, and told him to his face, you're wrong, son. You have married your brother's wife. And that is wrong. You have taken her to you as a wife, and that is so wrong of you to do. You're sinning against God. And you know what he done? He put him in prison for telling him that. By the way, I just saw this week where there was a preacher just got vindicated. He was arrested for reading a Bible aloud outside and was arrested. He just got released from jail just the other day. Listen, don't think persecution don't still go on, because it does. That was in America, too, by the way, where we have freedom of speech. But John was put into prison because he stood up for God and did what was right. But the Bible says, now after that, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. What was the gospel of the kingdom of God? That he was going to die, be buried, and raised from the dead. Amen. He preached repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He preached that message. Amen. And here's what he said. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You know, it's sad. So many people have heard the gospel and yet they don't pay any attention to it. It's just like something else they've heard. I'll never forget sitting on the steps over on 8th Street in Paris, talking to a friend of mine and witnessing to him. And I shared, I had one of those little gospel tracks, this cartoon tracks, a chick track. And I went through that track with him sitting on those steps. And I was so burdened about his soul. And he read through it, and I read through it with him. And when I got through, I looked at him, and I said, what do you think about that? He said, well, it's a good story. It'd be even better if it was true. Broke my heart. To this day, he's lost. So many people hear it, but they ignore it. I'm going to tell you something. The only hope they have is to repent and believe the gospel. That's it. So Jesus, as he was walking, the Bible says, verse 16, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, and by the way, I want you to understand something too, and we'll hear. Well, I'll wait till we get to Luke. We'll see it. So as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. You say, well, how's that any different from the last thing we read over in Matthew? Well, I want to focus on this. He says, come ye after me, or follow me, which is what he said in Matthew. And notice he said, and I will make you fishers of men. And I tell you something, you can talk people until you're blue in the face about how to be saved, and you cannot bring conviction upon a single person in this world. Oh, but I want them to be saved so bad, so I'm going to talk to them about Jesus. Unless you have God working with you, nothing is going to happen. The Holy Ghost of God is the only one that can reach inside of a mortal being and touch that heart and show them their loss. Jesus said, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. You ain't got to figure out how to do it. Listen, they knew how to catch fish. They had no problem with fish. I assume when they left and went with Jesus, Peter probably carried a small net with him. I noticed that they had fish to eat quite often. I figure it was one of them boys who'd fish for a living, probably had a net with them, and they carried it out there and throwed it out there and got him some fish and cooked on the fire out on the beach. Amen. But Jesus said, I'll make you a fisher of men. I'm going to tell you something. It's not a natural thing to share the gospel with somebody. It's kind of nerve-wracking, because you realize the seriousness of it. But you have to trust God to do it. God can use a stuttering, babbling person who can't form the words just right. I've been in the ministry since 1996. And since 1996, I've heard one person after another say to me, I wouldn't know how to talk to nobody. I'd get tangled up. I wouldn't know what to say if I was to try to witness to somebody. You don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. But you know who does? Jesus. If we will go into it, listen, we got to study our Bible. We need to understand. We need to understand what the Scripture says. We need not try to do it without God's power and God's Word. God will teach us. If you go to His Word and you'll look at the Gospel written in the Scriptures, and you learn it, you memorize it, you hide His Word in your heart, when you come face to face with someone who needs Jesus, the Holy Ghost of God, God's agent on earth right now working in us, the Spirit of Christ, will then take the words of Christ and use them to touch a heart as only Christ can. But we are the vehicle to get it to them. Jesus said, I'll show you how to do that. I'll teach you. I'll make you fishers of men. So listen to me. Perk up. Listen to me. Listen. You can't do it. But you know what? You can't do it by yourself. He'll do it through you. But we need to be ready, and we need to be willing, and we need to be looking, and we need to be asking the Lord, show me where I can share the gospel with somebody where it's going to do some good. Amen? Because that's what a fisher of men does. He's looking to catch something. Listen, I don't know of a single soul, and if y'all know of somebody, tell me, unless it was a flying fish, I don't know of anybody walking by the water and a fish jumped out in their lap or in their hand. I don't know. Maybe that happened with Adam back when he had dominion over the animals, but I don't know of anybody who said, man, I went fishing and the fish just jumped in the boat. Unless they were Asian carp or they were flying fish of some kind, they're probably not going to jump in the boat. Amen? You have to go and seek them. You got to go looking to find them. There are lost people all around you. A couple weeks ago, Jesus likened it to a ripened field of grain. I mean, it's just there. Just go out and get a handful. It's all around you. People are dying without Christ all around us. And we're worried about silly things that aren't going to matter in 100 years. And people are dying and going to hell around us. I'm just as guilty as you are. We get so tangled up in the affairs of this world that we forget why we're even here. They were busy. Listen, I guarantee you, these men were busy with their dad. I guarantee you, they felt like, man, our days, man, we're busy. We're just busting our backs for this. I mean, doing everything, working hard as we can, trying to get daddy a boat full of fish. I mean, they're working hard. But they're going now to do something that's a whole lot more rewarding. And it ain't easy. Ain't none of it easy. But God, power behind it. The Bible says, verse 18, and straightway, again, immediately, they forsook their nets. They said, that's it. We're done fishing for fish. And followed him. And when they had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their net. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with a hired servant and went after him. Now, back up there to that, I will make you to be fishers, become fishers of men. Turn to Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. No, wait a minute. Let's see. Yeah, Matthew chapter 13, verse 47. He said, I'll make you to be fishers of men. Now listen, here's a parable that he taught on a fishing net. Matthew chapter 13, 47 through 51. Jesus taught this to his disciples. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto them, have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Now, I was reading this about that net. Gathered all kinds, but yet there was some good and there was some bad in that. And I think about churches all over America today. There's all kinds of churches. There's all kinds of churches that claim to be followers of Christ. And yet there are some, listen, there are some who base their entrance to heaven not on the merits of Jesus Christ, but on their own personal merits, on how good they are as a person. They'll sit and tell you, well, I'm a good person. I should go to heaven. I'm a good person. I'm a Catholic, and I go to Mass. Or I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and I go on Saturday. Or I'm a Mormon, and I go to the Mormon Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Or we're Jehovah's Witnesses, and we go to the Kingdom Hall. Or whatever they may be. There's a lot of denominations out there that teach a phony, baloney gospel. Or that we've got to depend on some other experience that happened beyond Jesus where we fell on the floor and shook and the skirt went up over their head and they rolled around and barked like a dog. And that was proof that they were saved. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. It's Jesus and nothing else. The devil will try to get you on anything that matters in life. He'll either try to get you to stop too short and say, well, I don't need the blood of Jesus. I'm a good person. Or he'll try to get you to go too far and say, well, I believe Jesus died for me, but I gotta speak in tongues to go to heaven too. No, listen, you're going too far. It's just Jesus. There's nothing else. It's him alone and nothing more. Amen? So in the end, listen, there's going to be a lot of people surprised when they're to be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone because they thought they were saved, because they thought they were living a good life, or they thought they were doing religious things, and it wasn't that they came to the end of themselves and saw that they were lost before God and they needed to be born again, and they turned from their sin to Christ and were saved and washed in his blood. Now, turn back. Let's see where we're going from here. Turn to Luke. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, beginning of verse 43. Luke chapter 4 and verse 43, we're going to look at old Dr. Luke's version of this story. Beginning verse 43, chapter 4, Luke, he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Jesus went around to all the small little villages around the Sea of Galilee. This is not him in one particular city. He said, I got to go and I got to preach everywhere. It's not just the people here in Nazareth. I've got to go and preach to everybody. So he went out to all the little small villages and he preached in their synagogues. And the Bible says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee. It's just another way of saying it. So he preached in synagogues, and now he's got such a crowd of people. He's out by the Sea of Galilee. People are thronging all around him. And he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. So picture the scene. We're out on the seashore. People are all around Jesus. Two boats. Simon and Andrew, James and John down a little further. And they're washing their nets. Simon and Andrew washing their nets over here. And the Bible says, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him or asked him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he said, why did he do that? Because I think because he got out there a little further, he could speak and his voice would bounce off the water and make it easier for everybody to hear. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let your net down for a draw. I looked at that, launch out into the deep. I don't know where, I have no idea because I've never fished in a commercial fishing boat. I don't have any idea if the fishing would be better in the shallower waters or the fishing would be better in the deep waters. I really don't know. But I looked at that, launch out into the deep. And I think about how it is when we set out to do something for God and we're going out into deep waters. We're going out somewhere we've never been before. It's not like sitting up near the bank where safety. You're out in the middle of something. When you're going to serve God, you can't stay next to the bank. You got to get out in the deep. You got to trust God he's going to keep you afloat. You got to trust God he's going to provide. You got to trust God he's going to send your provisions. So they got. He said, go out. He said, get it. Remember, Peter's over here and Andrew, they're washing and mending their nets. They're fixed. They're done. Their day is over. They've been out all night. They're tired. They're fixing their nets. And Jesus gets through preaching and he says, hey, Peter, get up. Why don't y'all get up in here and take it back out there? Let's see if we can catch some fish. And Simon answering said unto him, and I wish I could hear Peter's tone of voice as he says this. He said, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. I'm sure he didn't want to get back in that boat. You reckon? I'm sure he thought, Lord, why? We're exhausted, Lord. I mean, we're trying to get everything cleaned up. Everything's almost put away. It's just like somebody comes in a restaurant at 8 o'clock and says, we want a whole bunch of food. And you're like, we done cleaned up everything. Well, you don't want to do it, but you do it. And he didn't want, I don't think he really wanted to go out there and fish anymore. But he said, nevertheless, at thy word, or because it's you asking, Jesus, I'll let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke, or their net break. I mean, they've been out there all night and caught nothing. Jesus said, drop your net. And they can't even pull it up out of the water. Their net's starting to break. There's so many fishes in that net. And they beckoned unto their partners. So they're hollering down the lakeside and saying, hey, John! Hey, John! Hey, James! We need y'all down here. Hurry! Our nets are about to break. So they holler down the shore. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came. And listen to what it says. And they filled both of the ships, so that they began to sink. Now I want you to understand something here. These fish represent something. Y'all have any idea what they represent? They represent lost souls. What did Jesus just tell them? Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. He's trying to tell Peter, trying to tell Andrew, I've got a job you need to do. But notice what Peter said. Peter said, we have toiled all night. We have done everything that we can do. We're fishermen. Don't you realize that, Jesus? We're fishermen. We have been out here. We're professional fishermen. We have been out here. We have done everything that we know how to do to catch fish. We've been out here all night. I mean, nothing. We couldn't catch a thing. There ain't biting tonight, Jesus. Don't you understand? They're not biting. They're not going to come and get in the net. They don't want any part of it. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people that don't want anything to do with the gospel, and you can preach it and preach it and preach it, and they ignore it. You can feel like, man, I'm a failure. But I'm going to tell you something. When God gets in it, then we see results. When God is in it, there will be results. His word will not return unto him void. So here he is. He said, look, we've done what we've done. Did not do anything, Jesus. So if you want us to do it, go ahead. We'll do it. We'll do it. Fine. Whatever. We'll do it. And then the results. Nets breaking. Y'all help. Come down there. Then both ships are about to go under. And what does Peter do? Peter fell down on his knees. When Simon Peter saw all the fish, I mean, they were flopping off the boat, flopping in the water. The boat's about to go under. Everybody's saying, what are we going to do? My goodness. And Peter looks at the whole situation, and he assesses what Jesus has just done. Again, he's worked a miracle. But Peter sees that, and he realizes all of a sudden the light came on in Peter's head. He said, I'll be fishers of men. Look what Jesus is able to do. He's able to do the impossible. With men, things are impossible. With God, all things are possible. And Peter, it blew his mind. And he fell down on his knees. And he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He said that because he'd been doubting Jesus. He'd been doubting what God could do. He'd been looking at it through his human eyes. He'd been trying to rationalize it with his human brain. He'd been working in his human strength. And he said, you can't catch fish right now. And Jesus said, oh, yeah. With me, you can. And there's a lot of preachers and there's a lot of Christians who say, you can't reach anybody anymore. This, the age we live in, nobody wants to hear the gospel anymore. Everybody, America's gospel hardened. Nobody cares anymore. But I'm here to tell you, you know why we aren't catching souls? Because we ain't fishing for them. That's why. I'm talking to me and I'm talking to you. We're not catching them because we're no longer fishing like we ought to. And we're not trusting God to give us the results. We've been trying to do it in our strength, and it ain't going to work in our strength. It has to be God or it will not happen. It has to be God, and we have to submit ourselves to God. We're going to have to get to know Jesus. We're going to have to know his power. We're going to have to know what he's capable of. We're going to have to submit ourselves to him and say, Lord, I'm yours. Use me. Show me where they're at. Show me where the people are that need to be saved. And, Lord, you put words in my mouth. Lord, you give me the courage, and you give me the direction, and Lord, I'll do whatever it is you want me to do because I'm going to follow you. And wherever you go, I want to work where you're working. And listen to me, all we do is go to them, and when we begin to talk to them, just like we talk to anybody, the Lord begins to work in their life, and he begins to show them. It's not us. Listen, all Peter did was drop the net. Jesus put the fish in there. And when we go to talk to somebody about Christ, listen, all we're doing is flapping our lips. Jesus is putting the word in their heart. Amen? Amen. But look at the humility that Peter had. He said, oh, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. He humbled himself. And that's what you have to do. If you still think you got it all together, you will never serve God like you ought to. You've got to humble yourself. You've got to bring yourself to realize that you are not all that in a bag of chips. You are not. You need God. You've got to feel your need. Peter felt his need on that boat that day. He felt his dire need for Jesus and his power in his life. And if you can't see that, then you're blind to it because it's right in front of you. Bible says, for he was astonished. It blew his mind. He couldn't understand. I mean, it was more than his human brain could compute at that moment what Jesus had done. This is more probably than they had caught ever. He was astonished. And all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so it was also James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. It blew their minds too. All of them. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't even compute what was really going on in front of them. But they knew that Jesus had done something really dramatic in front of them. And Jesus said unto Simon, Simon, don't be afraid. Fear not. We're not going to drown your boats. Henceforth you shall catch men. Don't be afraid. It's going to be all right. And the Bible says, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Bye, daddies. Y'all catch a lot of fish. We're going to catch men. We won't be back working on the ships anymore, Dad. Our time catching fish has come to a close. We've got a higher calling in life. It's time to follow the Lord and do what he wants. Turn in your Bible to Luke 14. Luke 14. Luke 14, verse 16. He sent them off with a mission. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they went with him on a mission. They went to catch fish. What's the net? The net's the gospel. The net is the message that Christ has made everything necessary, done everything necessary, made everything possible for anybody to come to him and be born again. He gives them a parable here of the great supper. We'll start in verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper. That certain man he's talking about, he's representing God the Father. And he says, and he bade many, invited all kinds of people, and he sent his servants at supper time. That's representing each and every person who's born again, who goes out into the world, who's to win people to Jesus Christ by presenting the gospel to them and God bringing them to salvation. He sent his servants at supper time to say to them, which were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. There ain't nothing else. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. It's done. Now they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said, I bought a piece of land and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Of course, he was making up excuse. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. You don't buy them before you prove them. He was making an excuse. Another said, I married a wife and therefore cannot come. In other words, he's making an excuse. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto the servant, why was he angry? Because nobody wanted what he gave. Nobody wanted what he had for them. And he had something better than they could ever imagine, and they didn't want it. They rejected it. They rejected the gospel. And he was angry. And he said, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. You go get people that everybody else walks by and passes by. You go and get those that people are not seeking out. You go and get those who are having a hard time in life. You go to the ones that others think they're better than. Listen, don't worry about what the world thinks. You go and you look with my eyes. You go and you look at things with my eyes. And the servant said, Lord, it's done as thou hast commanded. He went and done that. And yet there's room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. You see, God's not satisfied with people dying and going to hell. God wants people with him. God wants them saved. God wants them in his heaven. God doesn't want to put anybody in hell. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. Repent. Get saved. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them, urge them, get saved, trust Christ, be born again, do not die and go to hell, get saved, compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I do believe that represents Israel. I can't prove that, but I believe that represents Israel because they came, they presented, the prophets preached that Jesus was coming and they killed the prophets. Jesus came and they nailed him to a cross. His disciples went out and they killed them too, all but John. And they're still killing Christians on the other side of the world. Psalm 33. Turn to Psalm 33. We're almost done. We got a little bit further to go. We're almost done. Psalm 33. I got to looking at this over in Psalm last night. Got to remember who we serve. He's a God who's able to do all things. He's able to do what man can't do. The Bible says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him like Peter did on that fishing boat. Stand in awe. Why? For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Jesus said, let the nets down for a draw. And they pulled up so many fish that they couldn't even get them all. Listen, stand in awe of who he is. How long has it been since you stepped back and stood in awe of the Lord Jesus Christ? How long has it been since you took your eyes off yourself and your personal life and looked at who you have as a Savior and really looked at him and adored him and worshiped him? How long has it been since you've really stood in awe? I didn't say stand in complacency. I didn't say stand in indifference. I didn't say stand in a lackadaisical manner, but stand in awe of who you have as a Savior. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. This world's full of heathen. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. God's able to do all things. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. His word, what it said, it'll never change. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's why God has blessed America for so long, because America has worshiped God. But I'm going to tell you, if we don't get back to worshiping God, if we don't get close to the Lord Jesus Christ, God is going to bring the hammer down on this nation like we've never seen. And it starts with me and you. We can't say it starts with Donald Trump, because it don't start with Donald Trump. It starts with him and his heart. But I'm going to tell you something, he can't change America. God is the one who will change America. Barack Obama couldn't do it. Listen, Donald Trump won't do it, and the next one won't do it. It'll be God that does it, or it won't happen. The Lord looketh down from heaven. Looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. You better know he's watching you. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their work. Don't you think for one second God isn't keeping track of everything you are doing. Not only is he keeping track of it, he's thinking about it. He's considering it. There is no king saved by a multitude of a host. If God's ready to take him down, ain't nothing he can do to save himself. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. He is, for our heart shall rejoice in him. Why? Because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. I'll just read it to you. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. That's where we started at. Jesus said, come unto me. Come unto me. What is he saying? Follow me. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come with me and be fishers of men. There's no rest in fishing for fish, because every day you get up and you got to do the same old hard work over and over and over and over again when you're fishing for a living. He said, but you come and you work with me. You come and you be fishers of men, and you'll find there's some rest in doing that. I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing like, I don't know how many of you in here have ever led a soul to Jesus Christ, but every one of us in here should. Amen? There ain't a soul in here that shouldn't. But I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing as grand in this world as sharing the Jesus with somebody and watching them bow their head for themselves and receive him as their Savior. There is no rest on this planet. There ain't no pill you can take. There ain't nothing you can drink. There ain't a night's sleep. There ain't nothing you can do that will give you the peace and rest in your soul like seeing somebody get saved right in front of you because you had a heart, a burden for them, and God worked through you. There is nothing like knowing that the hand of God has been upon you and he's used you for something. That's rest. That's why Jesus stood by Sychar's well and they said, Jesus, didn't you get something to eat? He said, I had something to eat you didn't know nothing about. What is he talking about? He's talking about that rest. He got excited himself when that woman got saved. If it'll get Jesus excited and give him rest, don't you think it'll do the same for you? Amen. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You're going to get to know me, working with me. You shall find rest under your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why? Because he's going to do the heavy lifting. You can't do it. You cannot. But you walk with him and he'll use you. Amen. And lastly, Romans 5, 6 through 8. Romans 5, 6 through 8. Let's look at the net real quick. Can we look at the net we're going to throw? Romans 5, 6 through 8, and we'll close. Romans 5, 6 through 8. Here's the net. For when we were yet without strength, couldn't do a thing to save ourselves, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't have to. We were wicked sinners. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. I don't know of anybody around here that's a good person that I'd say, oh, I'll die for him. I mean, I don't just want to lay my life down for just anybody. He says, scarcely, every now and then, somebody will die in the place of one of a righteous man. He said, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But verse 8 says, but God commendeth, or God demonstrated or showed his love toward us. God showed us how much he loved us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, that old gospel song, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. That's the net. God said, here, if you'll come to me, I'll give you eternal life. And people have thrown that net forever, ever since he decreed that. Listen, there's eternal life in Jesus Christ. That net's been thrown. And there have been some who've come into that net. There have been others who've looked at that net and got frightened and got away from it. And they'll, you know what? They're going to miss eternity with God because of it. There's no greater job. There's no greater calling in life. There's no greater peace. There's no greater joy than saying, Jesus, I'm forsaking my way. And I'm going to follow you. And I'm going to let you make me into a fisher of men. There's peace. There's joy. And there's fulfillment like you ain't never known. If you ever get started, you won't ever want to stop. If you ever just get to be there for one to get saved, you'll catch it like a disease, and you got to have more and more and more. I mean, you're addicted to it. You say, I gotta see other people get saved because this is why I'm here. Amen? Let's become fishers of men for Jesus. That's the only way we're ever going to be successful as a body of believers, is to bring others into it. I want to share this with you, and I'm done. I heard this story years ago on the radio. I was in Texarkana, and it was on a Christian radio station, and there was a man talking about it. He said, you know, there was a club called the Anglers Club in a certain city, and fishermen from, these people would come together, these men, they call themselves anglers. They'd come together, and they'd have these meetings pretty regular. About once a week, they'd have meetings, and they'd get in their meetings, and they'd talk about fishing. Oh, they'd talk about how great fishing was. They'd talk about rods and reels. They'd talk about string. They'd talk about weights. They'd talk about hooks. They'd talk about all kinds of lures. I mean, they just talk about fishing. They talk about nets. They talk about trot lines. And every now and then, they'd set up a big tank and look at the fish, and they'd say, wow, look at all those fish. I mean, they just talk about fish all the time. Problem was, you know what? They never went fishing. They never went fishing. They never tried to catch a fish. They just talked about fish all the time. It was all they talked about, but they never caught anything because they never went fishing. Isn't that kind of ridiculous? That's the way churches work around this country every week of the world. That's how churches operate today in America. We talk about souls getting saved, but we never go fishing. It's ridiculous. We know people that are lost. You know why we don't talk to them? Because we are afraid to. Jesus said, fear not. He said, if you'll go out and talk to them, I'll be with you. The Lord works with you. The Bible says about the disciples, when Jesus went off to heaven, and the Bible said they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. You say, he's in heaven. Well, he's with you in the person of his Holy Ghost, and he will do his job. Will you do yours? Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the message this morning. I pray, Father, you use it. I pray, Lord, that you inspire us to talk to people about Christ. I pray, Lord, you inspire us to look for people that we have an opportunity to talk to. I pray, Father, that we begin to see results in our lives. I pray, Father, that we begin to get excited about being witnesses for thee. I pray, Father, that we begin to see this church blessed and grow, because, Lord, the only way it's going to grow and be blessed is if people get saved and come into it. Lord, we pray for those, Lord, that we mention each week that are lost, that are near and dear to us. Lord God, we want them to be saved. We want them to be a child of God. Lord, we want them to miss out on hell forever. Lord, we want them to be with us in heaven. Father, I pray, Lord, it won't just be a want, but, Lord, we'll do something about it. We'll go to them, and we'll come to them with our hearts in our hands and say that we want you to be saved. Lord, please, don't let this just be another message just preached and forgotten. Lord, may it resonate, ring in our ears till we say, Lord, I got to submit to you. I need to follow. It's time I stop going my own way and doing it my own way. It's time I put myself under your headship. It's time that I truly make you my Lord and stop making myself my Lord. Lord God, please forgive us. Please have mercy on us. Please humble us, Lord, to that extent that we see our duty that's before us, and we'll do it. Lord, may we be like Peter and humble ourselves. Lord, so you don't have to humble us. Father, please bless each one that's come today. Bless the ones that have listened. And we give you all the glory and the praise, and we thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.